Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
So, my name is Mark, and Taiwanese, and born and raised in Taiwan. And I got married last year to my amazing wife, Yo, who is a tremendous dancer and and chef, just to make you uncomfortable, and artist. So she's an art therapist in Taiwan. And yeah, we've been married, and it's just been such a blessing to see her model Jesus and how she loves people and loves me, even if it's difficult. And yeah, amazing. So last week, Kevin Terwilliger said about, you know, growing up, his parents will taught him, will teach him that anything is possible. And if you work really hard, anything is possible, right? Like you can achieve anything. And that's how his parents taught him. But my parents, on the other hand, taught me very differently. Nothing was possible for me. That's what they say to me, sort of. You know, I'm not that kind of material, so don't think about it. And if you're Asian parents, you might hear this quite often. It's like, oh, you just be a doctor. You just be a teacher. Just something stable, nothing else. Don't think outside the box. That's dangerous. And, you know, and nothing was enough in my parents' eyes. So if I, at school, got an A+, my parents would say, where's the A++? Like, really, like, I'll go home. Like, if I got a 98, they will say, why don't you get 100? Like, why is it so difficult? So I understand the meaning of that. Like, it's trying to push you, you know, to be a better person. But come on, I was a kid. It's just difficult. And not that I was trying to get straight A's at school. But, you know, like, that's the mentality that they taught me. Nothing is good enough. And that I adopted that mindset to my faith. So I'm one of the very few Christians in my family, and growing up, my parents would take me and my sisters to so many different temples at different times. So many temples, sometimes Monday, sometimes Wednesday, but on the weekends, we definitely will visit just to ask for blessings. And you know how Taiwanese faith is like, if you want to have good grades, you will go to a specific temple to ask for good grades. And I remember whenever I have like a big test, a small test, my mom will take me to temples, and I will literally leave my student IDs in front of the offering tables. And somehow I will pray like, okay, God, this is my ID. This is where I'm sitting. And magically just hoping that he will give me all the answers to the test. That's how we pray. And if you want to get married, if you're single, there's a specific temple for you to go and to ask for a mate. Somehow that person will appear. So whenever you have a need, whatever need that you have, there's a temple to go to. So many different temples. And of course, the famous one is Confucius Temple, right? That you go to get confused. And sorry, if you're a fan of Confucius, no offense, just a joke. So I was taught that the more you go, the more you beg, the more you'll be blessed and protected. And in Taiwan, when you graduate from high school, you have to take a national test to go to this college. And I remember, because I didn't study really hard, so my faith depended on this idol, how much I pray, how much I beg, because I literally did not study that much. I was not a good student. So I was just praying, okay, hopefully I can go to a good college. Well, let me put it this way. I was praying if I can go to any college, like literally. My grades were so bad. So my mom will take me to so many different temples to pray for good grades, hoping that I'll go to a college. And I remember the day before the test, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and my dad has this like idol picture in the house. I wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, and you know, there's a Buddhist booklets that you can just recite and read and just chant. I remember waking up 4 o'clock in the morning. I was standing in front of that idol, and I was bowing and praying. just like, God, please, I need to go to college. And for 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours, I guess, I did that. And it was endless reciting that book. I have no idea what it says. It makes no sense to me. But I just know if I do that enough, if I do that hard enough and more enough, then I'll go to college. God will help me. That God, idol, will help me. So that's what I was taught in my family. My parents would just teach me, pray a little harder, beg a little harder, and then you will somehow be blessed, be protected. So this went on until I went to college, and then things started to change. I met Clay at tennis. There you go. That the one on the very left, that's Clay. You've seen him before. He led worship when my wife was sharing. And that's me in the middle. I was smiling, if believe or not. We met at the tennis court. And the other guy is Shane, and they were missionaries in Taichung. You can't share a story without, like, awkward photos. So I pull out some, like, awkward photos. Yeah. So I met them at a tennis court, and he and his friend Shane came up to play tennis with me and my friend. And after tennis, Shane kind of approached me and said, hey, like, would you want to come to church? And we have some activities. And I said, no. Like, well, first thought, I was like, I thought they were Mormons. So I was like, where's your name tag and bikes? Like, that's what I was thinking in mind. But I basically just, like, brushed him off very nicely. And I said, no, it's okay. Like, I have my own religion. And I have my own faith, and I just want to play tennis. So he didn't push me much, and we continued to play tennis and just continued to build relationship and kind of relationship in tennis court like that. And then they invited me to a movie night. And I was like, okay, well, I like movies. I'll go to movies. So they invited me. I show up, and it's church. So we were watching a movie at church. And yeah, so I was like, okay, this is interesting. And nothing religious was there, just pretty much like this. And there was a big screen. We watched movies. We had fun. We talked about different things. And so I continued to build relationship with them like that. And they invited me to their lives. And something very curious to me, it's like when I observe the way they live, it's so different. The faith they believe, and the way they pray, the way they talk to God is very different. I have a clip, short clip, that the team will show you now. It's one of the days that they just invited me to go to their house, and I walk in, this is what happened. Yeah, they froze like that. So this is not a love song to his lover. The guy played guitar as Clay. It's a love song to God. And that's so different than what I believe. Remember, I used to go to temples. All I did was ask him, bless me. Oh my gosh, I'm so fearful. And there, they're worshiping God. They are singing songs to Jesus, saying that I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to love you more. I'm in love with you. And that's just so different. And so I just got to observe the way they live, and just so different, and that really made me curious who they are as Christians. So I finally decided to go to church. I got to figure out who they are. So they invited church. I finally go. Of course, I was late. And so, because I didn't want to introduce myself, I know, like, they always do that. And so I arrived late. And then as I step in, there's a song, "Here I Am to Worship," we sang earlier. And then that lyrics came out. I'll never know how much I know to see my sin upon that cross. And for some reason, when they were singing that, I just got super emotional. No idea. Look, I have no idea what sin was. No idea. I just got so emotional. Of course, I was sitting in the very back. Nobody was paying attention, but I was like wiping my tears. And looking back, I know there was Holy Spirit touching me and talking to me. And so I started to join the, again, nothing happened. The heaven didn't open and call my name, say, like, God, this is God. Like, Mark, this is God. Like, oh, listen to me. Nothing. So I wanted to know more about their life. I joined the prayer meetings. I have no idea what prayer is like in their system. So I went and I just observed they pray, and they just thank God. They thank what Jesus did to them. They didn't ask anything. They just praise him for who he is. And I started doing the Bible study, which is just difficult. It was a different language to me. What does it mean that you have to leave your mother and father if you want to be my disciples? So different, right? And God said, I come here now to bring peace, that your father and mother will hate you. Some awkward photos I'll show you on the left. So that was me. Stupidly agreed to Clay that I can drink 1 gallon of milk in 1 hour. And I threw up, of course. And then on the top right was me winning the wrestling match against Clay. At least that looked like it. So I'm just in their lives and just building a relationship with them. So at the prayer meeting, I get to hear what they're saying. And that really just struck me. Like, who are you, God? That time I was very curious. Like, okay, who are you, God? Like, why are they so different than me? Because in my thinking, it's like, my God, it's those temples are God. They can protect you. So then Clay left. Long story short, I graduated from college, and I go to the military. I have an awkward picture of that as well. I was a paratrooper, so that was me landing alive. And I didn't go right away because the government will tell you how much time you have left, and then you can, you know, prepare your time, get your head shaved and all that stuff. So I stayed in Taichung. That's where my college was. And then the church told me there's a mission team coming to Taiwan. And since I don't have to go to the army, can you stay and, like, translate, help the team? I was like, sure. I have no idea what mission teams was, what they do. Like, I just know a group of foreigners are coming. They need to just get things around, and I need to translate. So I agreed to that, and people at church asked me, and we have a couple of, like, volunteers that split the group. It was a group of, like, I think 14 to 16 college students, and a group of, like, elders, and I got partnered with in a group of the elders. And then I met this guy, Todd. Okay, that's Todd on the right-hand side. Please don't laugh at my haircut. I had no idea what I was thinking. That was very awkward. And so we would go to sports college to share the gospel. Of course, I was with Todd, and I was sharing the gospel. I just translate whatever he said. If I didn't understand, he would open the Bible, said, just read this. So I'll read it. And then wherever they go, I'll go. Like, wherever they do, I'll do together, you know, with all the sports, with all the eating and all that, ordering menus for them. So they had to leave as a short 2 weeks mission trip. So I was with Todd that night, and last day he pulled me aside, and we sat down at the couch, and he asked me, he said, hey, Mark, like, what do you think about all this 2 weeks, whatever you were translating? I said, I don't know. I don't know what I think. And then he said, it's okay, but do you want to know more about God and Jesus? I said, I'm not sure. I don't know. you know, I was put in an awkward position. I said, I don't know. And then he said, it's okay. He gave me his Bible and told me, if you want to know about Jesus, open this book, read. This is my email address. Email me anytime, and I'll answer you. I said, okay, no problem. I thought the conversation was over. And then he asked me one question that just, like, broke me, and I just couldn't answer. He said, Mark, like, where are you going after you die? I am personally fine talking about death. I know, like, one day we're going to stop breathing. Our body will stop functioning. Our soul and our spirit will go somewhere else. So I have no problem with that question. And I did not answer. I didn't know what to say. And that bothered me a lot, because in my entire life, temples after temples, I don't know how many student IDs I put on the table to be blessed. I did not know that answer. Where am I going after I die? And it does not scare me when he asked me that, but I want to know, because our faith is going to lead us somewhere, right? If your faith does not lead you somewhere, what are you doing? And I just felt very shallow, empty in my heart. And I said, I don't know. I had no idea how to answer him. So then the team left. And then I went to the airport with them, of course, make sure everything was okay. And then I went back to Taipei. I had 2 more weeks left before the military time. And then I just asked God. I had nothing else to do. So I just started praying, started reading. I would read like hours a day, just ask him and pray. My prayer was very simple, nothing fancy. I pretty much just say, God, who are you? Why are these people quitting their jobs or pausing their jobs, come to Taiwan and share your name? They didn't ask me for money. They didn't ask me for anything. They come here to share you and what you did for them. And I said, I need to know you. I need to see you. I either hear you or whatever you do, I need to know you. I was so desperate and hungry for him. I just want to know him. And I said this to God. I said, you have to show me. Like, you have to show me. Because it bothered me. I don't know where I'm going after. And so one afternoon, I was praying, and I was reading the Bible, and the verse became so alive to me. That is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and one Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish and have eternal life. And that verse was so alive, that just highlighted in front of me. And I heard God's voice. He said, it's okay, follow me. You know, I have my eyes closed, so I heard that here and here. I opened my eyes. I was terrified. I thought I went crazy. I look up and I was like, is that you, God? I had a little conversation with him. Nothing happens. He didn't say anything afterwards. And then I call my friend Kyle. I said, Kyle, I think I heard God speak to me. He said, it's okay to follow him. Am I crazy? And then he just said, I don't know, maybe you are. But he said, if you're not sure, just pray again. I'm sure he will talk to you again. So the next morning, I went out for a jog, just to make sure I'm physically fit for being a paratrooper. And so next morning, the same time in the afternoon, I remember my house, in my mom's house, and there was a hallway to the balcony. And I was sitting there, I was praying, and I was reading the Bible, the Gospels, and he show up again, you know, like the verse John 3:16 and I think it's Luke, right? Next verse. Yeah, Luke 19:10. It says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And those two verses just highlighted to me as my eyes were closed. And then I heard his voice again. He said, it's okay, follow me. And I don't know how it felt like to feel peace, but that's how I felt. I was repenting of my sins. I did so many things you guys probably wouldn't believe. I was repenting my sins. I was like, God, I'm so sorry I've done those things. At the same time, I feel God's love and presence cover me. Say, it's okay. Forgiven. And yeah. Yeah, I just broke into tears, crying, repenting of my sins, and at the same time, I feel so much peace of him covering me. And thank you. So at that moment, I just said, God, I believe in you. Jesus, I made you my Lord. And I felt like I finally got it in that moment. What I used to do was fear-based, going to temples, just lots of religious work. But in Jesus, I have freedom. I've been set free. My sins were forgiven. And he wanted a relationship with me. That's why he said, it's okay to follow me. He didn't say, it's okay, do more of these things. Pray more, read more. He said, it's okay, follow me. Come with me. See, when I used to go to temples, I didn't have any peace at all, to be honest. All I did was asking, and so much fear in my heart. And I feel like if I miss one temple trip, God is going to curse me. I feel like if I miss up one step of whatever religious work they're doing in the temple, like God is not going to protect me. In John 14:27, God says, Jesus said this. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you peace as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Do you know how ridiculously I lived before? When I went to temple to pray, this is how I start. I will tell the idol, my name is Mark. This is the bus numbers I take to school. I live at this address, hoping that he will know who I am.
And birthdays, yes.
It's very important to know my Western birthdays and Chinese birthdays, Lunar calendar birthdays. Every temple that I went, I will start with this. And that's what my dad will do too, my entire family. Sometimes I miss one thing, he will say it as well. He said, okay, that's my son, Mark. He forgot to say his name. I really like the song, Amazing Grace. It says, like, I was blind, but now I see. Oh, so freeing in Jesus. When you know God, that created heaven and earth, that changed everything. Psalm 139 says, for you formed me in inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. God knows you. It says God knows you. You don't have to tell him names. He knows you. He made you. Luke 12:7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than sparrows. God knows you. God made you. God cares for you. He loves you. He knows your every struggles, every need. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. All life comes from Jesus, comes from God. Not from Buddha, not from Dalai Lama, not from Shiva, not from any idols that I've been to. You know what the Bible says about my idols? I think it's Psalm 135. The idols of the nations are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouth but cannot speak, eyes cannot see, ears cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. When you come to know God, I come from not a Christian family, so I just see the contrast of like how trapped I was spiritually, how dead I was spiritually. And now I have an identity. I have a heavenly Father that made me and loves me. So do you know God? Do you want this peace that God gives? Do you want to know God that he sent his son Jesus to die for your sins and you'll be forgiven when you receive? I really believe these next two verses really spoke to my life. It's James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I'll be found by you, says the Lord. I feel like the reason I encounter God is because I didn't want anything else but him. I was so hungry for him. I got to know this God, that why these people are doing crazy stuff and coming here and share about Jesus. Like, who are you? Jesus died on a cross and paid for your sins 2,000 years ago. And it's a free gift, salvation. Now the question is, do you want to accept it? It's not a matter if he did or not. He did. And we have to respond. 100 times 0 is 0. 100 times 1 is 100. And I realize that 1 is Jesus. He's the only one. He's the perfect one. He's the only door to salvation, to the Father. So are you 83% sure, like Kevin was? Or are you not sure at all, like me? I want to read this quote from a very famous German evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke. And I would like to invite each one of us to close our eyes as I read this. And there is nothing spiritual about closing your eyes. You just don't let you get distracted. Just focus on this quote. He said, "All world religions have one major thing in common. Man must somehow earn salvation. People who worship idols spread the table for their idols. They give offerings to their idols. The Christian God does the other way around. He spreads the table for his children. He made a way for everyone through his Jesus Christ." I hope my story tells you the difference between just how trapped I was spiritually. You know, I might not need healings in my body, but I need healing in my spirit that time. And God showed up in the most tangible and loving way. When he showed up, he didn't say, "Mark, look what you did. I gotta save you." None of that. He knows what I did. But he said, "It's okay, follow me, you're forgiven." That easy. So, if you don't mind standing, we're going to worship, and the prayer team will be here. I'll be here too if you want to know more about Jesus. We can talk to you about Jesus and share more of Jesus, of what he did for you. And I hope you make that decision today that he is your Lord. He died for you. And you can have salvation today. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.